I mean, this is the boy that has walked up to me because he wanted to play a game on my phone and taken my sleeping thumb and unlocked my phone. So, you know, he knows exactly what to do.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
So one of the things we've been promising on our website, trailerjunkiespodcast.com, is movie trailer reviews. But yeah, that tonight we're going to get into some movie trailer, or let me rephrase that, we're going to get into some movie poster reviews. And Ted, what is our movie poster tonight?
So tonight we're going to talk about Miller's Crossing, a movie poster that I saw in a bathroom in...
Oh, dude, tell me more.
I saw it in a bathroom in Buellton after leaving your house. We stopped at a restaurant, and you and I were just kicking off the idea of doing something like this. And I saw this movie poster, and I snapped a picture of it and sent it to you. And I was like, this is the kind of stuff that we should be talking about. It's a poster that speaks to me because it's so cinematic in its telling of the story of Miller's Crossing. And it's such a pivotal moment within the movie of Miller's Crossing.
Right.
But even before, even if you didn't have any reference to the movie, it's still an impactful scene. Two guys, incredible. In the woods, one guy on his knees, the other guy has a gun in his hand, but they're so far away, you can't even tell who they are.
Yeah. I mean, he's begging for his life. I mean, is what that tells you.
And you know that something is going to happen right around this area. And, you know, Miller's Crossing, no spoilers here. You know, he chooses to let him go. And it's literally in the middle of the movie. It's basically just a screen grab of Barry Sonnenfeld's cinematic work. You know, it's a Coen Brothers movie. So this is the last time they worked with Barry on a movie. And it's just such a gripping moment. So even when you go back to it, after watching the movie, you say like, oh, this is the moment right where Gabriel Byrne decides to let him go and, you know, basically makes a big mess for himself, you know, throughout the movie that he has to clean up for the whole second half of the movie.
And I think it should be noted that this is 1990 is when this was released. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the first, maybe the second Coen Brothers movie. I mean, they probably had some student films or something, but it's the first one that they had that was wide released and in the mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, they had Blood Simple and Raising Arizona, which is part of the legacy cell on that poster.
True. But
this is one of the bigger ones. Blood Simple was the small one.
That was kind of their breakout, wasn't it?
That was the breakout.
Or maybe Raising
one.
Arizona was.
Raising Arizona didn't really fit in their, I don't know, in the crime drama space, which it feels like. I think they did that one to make sure they didn't get locked into this overly dramatic crime drama space, you know?
True. I mean, that was kind of
a farce. It was like a little bit of a fart.
Yeah, like a farce. Lighthearted crime drama, maybe. You know,
but crime comedy.
Crime comedy. Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's. I think it's one of my. That's my favorite, Raising Arizona. But I think that the idea of
I'm partial to Fargo. Yeah.
Fargo has its moments, but it is one. It is one of my least favorite of the popular Coen Brothers.
Really?
Movies. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Lady Killers fan. And I haven't seen, a couple of their latest ones, but, I think Fargo is a little too slow for me.
Gotcha.
But I think the legacy cell here, Blood Simple and Raising Arizona, kind of puts Miller's Crossing right in that sweet spot. It is what those two movies, you know, it has elements of both those movies. It has some lighthearted moments in it, You know, it's not Johnny Dangerously, but it does have it does have moments where it could be like, oh yeah, it's kind of a funny little aside, funny little scene here and there. So I think it is appropriate for them to put these two movies as a legacy cell. Sometimes, you know, you have to cherry pick if a director has done a lot of wide ranging work, you have to cherry pick the movie as the legacy cell. So you're not selling that director. You're really selling that this movie is similar to that other movie.
Right.
So that's why I like what this says. And, you know, it has a quote that is actually a quote that it feels like it means something, you know, where it talks about the Godfather. And
yeah, and photographically, what I like about it is, I mean, clearly when you look at it, you see the two characters, one with a white shirt, one with a trench coat, and they're mostly in the center of the screen or the center of the image. But what I like about it is the foreground is blurred out, draws your eyes to the depth of it. And the trees on the left and right, they kind of frame the image
beautifully framed.
Further. Yeah. And further drawing your eye right to where you need to be looking. Like there are no distractions. And what you're seeing is just exactly what the photographer, or in this case, maybe cinema photographer. How do you even say that? The cinema photographer.
Now you can. Now I can't even say it.
I'll go with photographer. Yes. but it draws your eye to what the photographer wants you to see based on how they framed it with the trees, the blurred foreground, and the depth of the woods, kind of leading to it as if you just happen to be walking through the woods and you see John Turturro begging for his life.
Look at your heart. I'm praying to you. Look at your heart.
And like you said, the guy with the gun, and he almost looks like in white on his knees. He almost looks as though he fell into a pond or something or a swamp. Like he's just all disheveled. I mean, it's just, I think photographically it's fantastic. I mean, it draws your emotion.
Yeah, it's a play on the white versus the black, you know, the good versus the evil. And in the end, you know, depending on how you fall in the movie, it's completely reverse. But, you know, just as a passerby in the woods, like you said, there's a voyeuristic quality to being this distance from this scene. And I think I challenge anybody to walk around and look at posters today and say posters today are mostly about actors and selling the movie on who the actor in that movie is or who that character is that they're trying to set up as the breakout character or, you know, the star of this show. And now,
rather than invoking emotion,
I mean, they're trying to evoke emotion, but evoke emotion through character. Right now, like you said, there's a bunch of Star Wars posters all over, you know, the world, and they're mostly Rey, Kylo Ren, Luke Skywalker. You know, they're kind of they're iconic heroes of the film, and they stand up and they stand out. And now when you see bus, my favorite of all the posters are bus enclosures, because I love the size and the scope of it. It's a little wider than a normal movie poster.
Uh-huh.
But now they do series of them. So as you drive down the street, you'll see somebody's big face in one. And then as you drive to the next block, you'll see the next person's big face in the other one.
Right.
And
yeah, I've seen those.
You get to the end of the street, you've seen five big faces all for one movie. And it's meant to hit you like a series. So this, you know, this strips away all of that. You know, John Turturro, Gabriel Byrne, you wouldn't know it was them unless you've seen the movie. And it just holds up over time as this artistic frame picked out of a movie.
Yeah, in a sense, it's film noirish. Not black and white, obviously, but then you bring in, as you mentioned, the black trench coat and the white
dress shirt,
button-down yeah. shirt, I guess he has. And I mean, that kind of speaks to the time, the gangster, the dark period, and just overall kind of a film noir, cinematic, artistic piece. And then they just bring in a little bit of color with the yellow in Miller's Crossing. Otherwise, it's somewhat muted tones.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Not to say that the full, you know, movie posters and other graphic designers, I would be remiss in saying, you know, I think I mentioned Saul Bass to you just briefly. And mm-hmm. Saul Bass is like renowned for his graphic design and working with Hitchcock over the years for his movie posters. And we can definitely dive into Saul Bass and other episodes. I think we've already gotten a request for it. So we will do that moving forward, but we'll set somebody up. Maybe we'll bring him in for a little talk too.
Oh, exciting. Exciting. I can't wait.
Not Saul Bass, my friend who likes Saul Bass.
Oh man, you had me all. Yeah. Well, that's dead. Cool too, but man, you had me all excited here, but oh, well, fan stardom, I guess, or how, whatever it is, you know, but, Starstruck. Okay, so I gotta ask one more time. Do you have a 3-word review for Miller's Crossing movie poster?
Oh, I did. I did. Shoot. I will.
You got to write these down.
I know. I should write them down. I will give you a little insight to how what I do, because when we do these, you know, on a rolling basis weekly, and every time we have a movie poster or a trailer coming up, I set my lock screen on my phone.
Okay.
With an image of the movie that we're reviewing, the next movie that we're reviewing.
Oh, okay.
So when I do that, it's kind of, it's been very helpful in just keeping these topics on top of mind. And it's amazing how many times you look at your phone when it's locked and then just open it. But it's that quick millisecond of noticing and thinking about, like, oh, okay, we're going to do this next, and then this is, and then what's my new thought on that? And it's kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, but yeah. Maybe I should start doing something. You know, I kind of sit down and, you know, a little inside baseball here, but I sit down and I just set aside a time to go through what we've been talking about, and I kind of get my mind frame, and once I'm in that, I have that frame of mind, then I can think more thoroughly and thoughtfully about it. Whereas when I'm distracted, it's like everything's just kind of flying past me, you know, whatever it is, and I'm not really thinking about it. So I'm the kind of person, like, I have to set aside that time to just slow down, turn everything else off, and just read and watch or whatever I'm doing.
So my 3-word review for Miller's Crossing or Miller's Crossing poster is Tommy's Broken Heart. Tommy. And it's really about, I watched the movie recently, so yeah. You kind of have to be a big fan of the movie or have watched it very recently. At the very end of the movie, Bernie is begging for his life. And I'll spoil this one because it's 1990. You know, if you haven't seen it yet.
27 years later. Yeah.
You know? Bernie is John Turturro's character, and he's begging for his life again in front of Tommy. And Bernie says, look into your heart, look into your heart. And Tom Regan says, what heart? And as he says, what heart, he puts a bullet in his head.
Oh, man.
So luckily he didn't kill him in the middle of the movie, or else it would have been a much shorter movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen this movie for years. I do want to watch it again. You know, there's some movies I go back and watch over, you know, a few times here and there. I think this has to be one of them. And I think I have it in iTunes or something, so I'm going to have to watch it.
You don't have this on Laserdisc?
Laserdisc. Nice. Yeah, you know, hang on. So is this about the point where I have to flip the disc? Is that what it was?
This is the flipping point, yes.
Yeah, so they show the scene and then the little text comes up. It's time to flip your disc, you know, or whatever they used to tell you. Oh, man. But I know movie nerds for sure.
Yeah.
But all right, cool. So, and one more time, what was it?
Tommy's Broken Heart.
Tommy's Broken Heart. Okay, Tommy's Broken Heart. Miller's Crossing. So a good look back at an incredible film.
Since we kind of have a platform, I was going to open this tonight, and of course we don't have to go too far into it, but you had mentioned binge watching earlier.
Okay, another binge watching cautionary tale.
Another binge watching cautionary tale. So I was binge watching. I was attempting to binge watch.
Okay.
Stranger Things season 2.
Ah, and yeah, we haven't seen that one yet.
I'm very into it. I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
Watched a couple episodes. Standalone, one episode, and then the next week I watched another episode, and then I'm like, ooh, I have some time, you know, I'll string together a few episodes. And I launched it, and I was playing through the episodes, and I fell asleep.
Oh,
and
I
watched a full episode, and then I fell asleep in episode number 4 or 5, and then I woke up. And it was episode 7 or 8. And then I watched a little bit of it, thinking that I had just been asleep for a few minutes. And then I realized, oh, no, I've been asleep for a couple of hours. And now I'm completely, utterly lost in the story. Now, just because we're putting this out in the world, I wear a Fitbit that tells me when I'm sleeping.
Okay.
So my Fitbit knows when I'm sleeping and when I'm awake.
Yeah, I have a Fitbit, too.
Why can't my Netflix talk to my Fitbit and have an API where it says, oh, Ted's watching, his Fitbit is on, and his Fitbit is telling Netflix that Ted is sleeping, so I'm going to pause it here.
So I was going to say, pause it, totally.
You know, like, is there a Fitbit API for Netflix that somebody can get to work on so that I don't sit through 2 hours and now I have to go back? And I'm going to have to rewatch maybe episode 3, maybe episode 4. Maybe I just start the whole thing over. Or maybe I'll just switch over and I'll just try to watch Mr. Robot or something because it's too messy now. It says that I've watched 8 episodes, but I only remember 2. And who knows?
Brilliant. And
what do you think?
And you just gave somebody like a huge idea to probably make a lot of money. But no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, yeah, if you fall asleep, like you can have various apps, Netflix, Amazon, HBO, HBO Go or whatever it is. And once you, well, okay, there's a few issues I see. Sometimes I'm sitting in bed and I'm reading a book. Yeah, I do read. So, I'm reading a book and done with my book, close the book. I get up, finish up brushing my teeth, whatever I do to get back to bed. And I check my Fitbit stats later. And my Fitbit stats say, oh, well, you fell asleep at 8:30. And by 9:45, you had a break in your sleep cycle. And it shows a little red line in there and all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, no, you got it all wrong. I didn't go to bed till 10. I was reading this whole time. And that last 15 minutes, I was doing my nightly brushing teeth stuff, whatever that is. And so, I don't know. I mean,
sticking your toothbrush in your ears and
up your nose. Exactly. So what would happen, though, if every time you're just sitting still for just too long watching Walking Dead, and all of a sudden it just paused and you're like, what the heck? And you have to wiggle your wrist. And then next thing you know, boop, it paused. You're like, damn it. You got to wiggle your wrist. So then you get this habit of constantly moving your arm to stay to keep the movie going or the TV show going.
Oh, if only we had that problem. To me, that would be such an improvement over what my problem, because now I'm about to throw a whole season of television away out of frustration.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a great idea. I just don't know. I mean, at some point,
execution. Yeah. It's all about execution. How are we gonna do it?
Right. At some point, if you sit still for too long, it's gonna pause, and everyone in the room you're watching with is gonna be like, "Dad, wiggle your arm," and you're gonna be like, "Damn it! Okay, fine." You know, and then everyone's going to be getting on your case. Quit sitting still. You know, I can see it now.
Or in my case, I'll be watching with the family. I will have fallen asleep, and then they will pause, and my son will come up to me, and he won't wake me up.
He'll just pick up your arm and drop
it. Watch. Yeah, he'll just tap my watch. I mean, this is the boy that has walked up to me because he wanted to play a game on my phone and taken my sleeping thumb and unlocked my phone. So, you know, he knows exactly what to do when he
wait a minute.
To,
wait a minute. Is he going to be in the next Ocean's 8? Yeah, I love it, man. Kids, incredible. Yeah, they know how to do their own heist, you know, and
yep.
And the great thing is, it's not a briefcase full of Benjamins. It's not.
It's a little Angry Birds. He just wanted to play some Angry Birds.
Totally.
Some little Star Wars Angry Birds. And he knew it was on my phone. And he just knew that he was one daddy thumb away from playing Angry Birds.
Hey, everybody has their treasure. Right. Yeah. No, that was brilliant. But no, I mean, you know, I don't know. I think it's a great idea. How do you execute it, and what happens when you're not sleeping and you're just sitting there still for way too long and it just pauses? I mean, maybe that's...
Yeah, I know my OTT, my over-the-top, my Apple TV, when I play the Netflix through that, if I try to binge a couple episodes, in between the episodes, it asks you if you're still watching.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you had that?
No, I do. Yeah.
There's some of that, you know, are you still watching? And then you wiggle your hand or you look at the thing or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So there's ways around it, but we'll see. We'll see if anybody picks up on this API opportunity.
Or what it does is, you know, just to give people ideas out there, it buzzes maybe, I don't know, 10 seconds before, but then that wakes you up. So I don't know if that's going to do anything, but it buzzes 10 seconds before. So you go, Oh wait, I got to wiggle my wrist. Okay. There, let's keep it going. So, I don't know how it would play out, but I mean, I'm sure there's people way smarter than us out there who can figure something out
exactly
to where you could tie into a Fitbit. Well, does anybody make Jawbone, or does anybody use Jawbone anymore? So
I don't even know.
Yeah, though I think that was like so like 2011. But
yeah, I mean, AirPods took over, right?
Right.
The new
right
gear for your ear gear.
But anyway, yeah, cool. we're rambling. So why don't we?
Yep.
Yeah, I would say why don't we kill it? But and we can cut some of this stuff in, maybe.
Of course.
Yeah. Anywhere. And I want to thank everybody for listening, and you can find everything we have at trailerjunkiespodcast.com. Links to everything, social media, all the places where we host our podcast, and Facebook at Trailer Junkies Podcast, and Twitter at T Junkies Podcast.
And you can subscribe and share from wherever you listen to your podcast, iTunes podcast, Google Play, or Stitcher.
All right, Ted. Well, I guess that is it for this week. And, you know, look forward to talking to you again next week. And we'll have some more trailers, other reviews. Yeah, I had a good time. How about you?
Awesome. Had a great night. Thanks.
All right, Ted.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.